Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Turn to Psalm 2. And as you're turning, let me give you this introduction to the message. All men and women everywhere, despite our differences, we all have one thing in common by nature. Our differences are many. There's lots of races and nationalities. Our intelligence can vary. Our birth status can be high or low. We're all different ages. Some are rich, some are poor, and many in between. Some are strong, others weak. Some are handsome or beautiful, and others not so much. But one thing all men and women by nature agree upon, whether we admit it or not, it's true, we have one thing in common. We are all, listen to me, against God and His Christ. Let me show you that in Psalm 2. Have you got verse 1? Why do the heathen rage? We do understand we're the heathens. We're the heathens by nature. And why do the people, that's us, imagine such a vain thing? The kings of the earth, even them, set themselves. And the rulers of the earth take counsel together, what? Against the Lord. And against His anointed. All of us by nature are against God and against His Christ. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We want to be free of them. Don't want to be controlled by them. Turn to Isaiah 1. It does not matter if we're prepared to admit it or not. It's what the Word of God says. And the question is, why would anyone, much less everyone, be against God? Be against the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what the answer to that question is? We're just out of our minds. We are plumb crazy. You say, that's pretty extreme. Well, in the Adam, what do we think happened? In the Garden of Eden, what do we think happened to Adam? Adam ate, and he and we could no longer think straight about anything, much less who God is and who we are. Look at the last two phrases of Isaiah 1, verse 5. Isaiah 1, verse 5. The last two phrases there says, the whole head is sick. We've lost our mind. We really have. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. We don't think straight. We don't feel right. We don't arrive at the right conclusions. And therefore, we're against the Lord Jesus Christ. All men are by nature. All women are against Christ and His Father. What was done in the garden? What do we do still by nature? We rebel against God. We're against God and His Christ. Let me give you a few other examples, and we'll come back to Isaiah here. God told Adam, He said, Adam, I've made this garden for you. Look at it. There were trees and trees and trees and trees. And He said, you can eat all you want of all those trees. He said, there's just one thing. He said, that one in the middle, that tree, don't eat it. And you know what Adam said? He said, I'm against that. I'm against that. I'm going to eat of it. Adam's son, he had a son, Cain. God said, Cain, bring a lamb. Bring a lamb. His brother, he brought a lamb, didn't he? Cain said, bring a lamb. I'm against that. I'm against that. I'm going to bring some fruit and vegetables instead. Jonah, God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. You go down there. What did Jonah say? I'm against that. He went and got on a ship the opposite way going to Tarshish, didn't he? He said, I'm against that. Joseph told his brothers, God told me that you shall serve me. You know what they said? We're against that. We're against that. We're not going to, no siree. They put him in a pit and sold him into slavery, didn't they? We're against that. Hold cities and nations, Jerusalem, Israel, Rome, this country today. God said, Jesus Christ is your king. And they and us all said, we're really against that. We're really against that. They said, we will not have that man reign over us. We're against that. Look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. He said, I've nourished and brought up children. And what have they done? They've rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They're what? They're against the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel under anger. Why? They're against him. They are gone away backwards. What'd they do? They come up and found out he's king. They go, I'm against him. I'm going that way. I'm going away backwards. I'm not having that. Why should you be stricken anymore? You revolt more and more. Why? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head. We're against him. We're against him. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. I was truly astounded when I looked, got my concordance out and looked up the word against. I was amazed at how often it occurs in the scriptures. And to put this in perspective, let me give you some words and how often they're used in God's word. The word justifier, that's in the scriptures one time. Justification, three times. Justify is just 11 times. Justified, 43 times. Just, 102 times. Fear, about 450. Love, about 450. Sin, about 450. You know how many times the word against appears in the scriptures? I just kept turning pages. Over 1,800 times. And I realize that the quantity of times a word is used is not necessarily a reflection of something. But I'll tell you what this does tell us. Most of these indicate and prove that men and women, we are against everyone and everything in this world except me. If it doesn't suit me and doesn't do me some good I can touch and feel and hold, I'm against it. By nature, man, all men and women, we're against God and His Christ. Look at Matthew 12, verse 30. Our Lord here Himself says these words. He says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. If we're not with him, we're against him. That takes in a whole lot of folks, doesn't it? And this matter is simple. We're either with Christ or we're against him. And by nature, no one is with Christ, but rather is against him. And that is not only foolish, it's just insane. It is for everyone who's just lost his mind or her mind. Against God? How does God deal with those who are against him? Let me show you one of two ways. Let me start with some examples. There was Pharaoh. God sent a prophet to tell Pharaoh. He said, let my people go. What did Pharaoh say? Pharaoh said, I'm against that. I'm against that. And ten times, God showed him, you ought to be with me and not be against me. Pharaoh said, I'm against it. And then finally on the tenth time, God, how did he deal with him? He killed the firstborn of every family in Egypt. Whew. And still Pharaoh said, I'm against him. But after he killed his son, he said, all right, get out. And they didn't get very far. And Pharaoh got to thinking and said, I'm against this idea of letting them go. And he sent his army after them. And here they were up against the Red Sea. And God delivered them miraculously. He opened up the sea and had it walls standing on each side. His people went through. And here comes Pharaoh's army thundering down into there. And what happened? That's how he deals with those who are against him. What about those two cities? I tell you, that Egyptian army is not against him anymore. They're gone. What about those two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? They were against everything. They were against nature. And they were against God. What happened? God said to Lot, who was with him, he said, Lot, you get your family out of that town, out of that city. And they got up on the hill. And what happened? It says, God rained fire and brimstone. And it came down like an atom bomb went off. You know, they've been searching for that city for thousands of years. Can't be found. You know why? That's what God does with those who are against him. He deals that way with them. What about Jericho? The people in Sodom and Gomorrah aren't against him anymore. What about Jericho? God brought his people up there and Joshua went up and said, y'all need to surrender. And they went, we're against that. God said, march around that city seven times and blow a trumpet. When he did, the walls, they were all around. They went, and God said, go in and kill them all. They're not against God anymore. What about Rome? They oversaw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God's Son. The whole empire persecuted God's people. It wasn't too many years after they crucified Christ. If you want to see what's left of it, go over there now. And all those buildings are falling down. And he just destroyed it. Destroyed the entire empire. They're not against him anymore. They're gone. Even Israel, they said, we will not have this man reign over us. We're against him. And although God preserves a remnant, God has permitted evil men to persecute and kill them by the millions. Has he not? That's one of the two ways God deals with those who are against him. But there is a second way. Thank God there's a second way he deals with those who are against him. And you know what that's called? In mercy. In mercy. You know, Jonah started out, I'm against it. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm against it. I'm going to Tarshish. But you know what? God said, Jonah. And he made the sea tempestuous. And those sailors hurled Jonah overboard, and a giant fish that God prepared came and swallowed him up and took him down in the sea for 3 days. That's a picture of Christ. And after 3 days, he came up and vomited up on the ground, on the shore. And you know what Jonah said now? I see the mercy of the Lord. He didn't leave me in that fish's belly down there forever. He brought me back. And you know what? I'm not against going to Nineveh anymore. I'm going to Nineveh. And he did. Was there ever a man any more against God and his son than a man named Saul? He's killing God's people everywhere he can catch them. And he's on his way to kill some more, and he's riding down the road, and God takes him and hurls him in the dust. Makes him blind. He can't see anything, can't hear anything, but God's speaking to him. Sends a man to preach the gospel to him. You know what? He gives Paul a new heart and a new mind to love God in his Christ. He's not against him anymore. Now he's with him. He's with him. Turn to Revelation 17. So who determines who will stop being against Christ and starts being with Christ? Our Lord said, "He that is not with me is against me." Well, are we with Christ or are we against him? Which camp are we in? Revelation 17. Verse 13 describes those who are against the Lord Jesus Christ. They're with Satan. It says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him," now there's some good news. There's some who are with him as opposed to being against him. "And those that are with him," here's what they have in common. Three things. They're called, they're chosen, and they're faithful. That's good news, isn't it? So who are these they that are with him? Am I one of the they? Anybody here thinking, "I'm not against that. I'm not against being with him. Oh, I want to be one of the they." Well, let's these three things. How did this happen? Well, God the Father. They're chosen, called, and faithful. The they are chosen by the Father. In eternity past, he chose a people. Then they're called by God the Spirit. He calls them out of darkness in time to be with Christ, to be with him, to be for him, not against him. And then they're faithful. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, he makes them that way by his substitutionary work. They're with him. Now, let's look a little more in depth at these three words, chosen, called, and faithful. And how can I know if I'm one of these that are with Christ? Well, all men and women react to these three truths in one of two ways again. One of two ways. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. "But God hath chosen." God hath chosen. And I want you to notice the things that he chose, who he chose. If we say we want to be with him, well, this has to describe us. Because he said, "God hath chosen, first of all, the foolish things of the world." That suits me. That's me. "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world." Why? "To confound the wise." And secondly, "God hath chosen the weak things in the world." That's me. That's me. "Of the world, to confound the things that are mighty." "God hath chosen the base things." I'm pretty base. "And things which are despised." If you're with Christ, you're going to be despised. "Yea, God hath chosen things that are not, to bring to naught things that are." Now, why did he do it this way? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." No one's going to arrive in glory and say, I did this and I did that. No. That's not how it's going to be. Turn to John 15. John chapter 15. Those with Christ are the elect chosen of God. You know what some folks say about that? They say, "I'm against that. That's not fair." You ever heard that? "That's not fair." I'm sorry, but that person is therefore not chosen, or at least
It's not been revealed yet if they're chosen. Anyone who says, I'm against that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and God's going to deal with that injustice. Or God's people who are with Him, they hear that. You know what they say? I'm so glad it's that way, because I never would have chosen Him if He hadn't first chosen me. I'm not against that. Look at John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it thee. Do we notice what order that comes in? We don't choose Him and do all this fruit and say, well, I chose you. No. He chooses us. And then if there's any fruit, it comes after that fact. The second thing, turn to Romans 8. The first thing is that they who are with Christ are chosen. The second thing is that they who are with Christ are called. And the Spirit of God says, what do we say to this? Look at Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for them, for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What do we say to these things? What do we say to that? I think you ever, y'all, most of you are not old enough to remember these things. I remember 40 years ago, if you said predestinate in the city of Ashland, Kentucky, you're a Mayanite. That's what you are. You go to that 13th Street place. They preach that, and I'm against that. I've seen it live that way. And those who are against Christ are against the very truth in His Word. But you know, those He chose and those He called, you know what we say to these things? I'm for that. I'm for that. I'm with Him who that is. Yeah. Thank God He called me. I'm not against that. You know why? Because I was dead in trespasses and sin. Dead men don't hear a call unless God first gives them life. How does He do that? He chose them, predestinated them, and He calls them. When He calls, there's life. There's life. You know how many times the word called is in the Bible? Over 800 times. There's some truth in that, I think. There's some truth in that. He chose, He calls those who are with Him. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Those who are with Christ are faithful. That's the third thing. He chose them, He called them, and are faithful. Modern religion has got it upside down and backwards. They say, if you do this and don't do that, if you do this and you don't do that, and you don't do that, you do this. If you're faithful, you're one of God's. I'm sorry. That's just backward. If God chooses you and calls you, He'll keep you faithful. He'll make you faithful. You know what our Lord said to those who actually saw Him in the flesh, saw Him doing all these miracles? He said to them, O ye faithless generation. And they were faithful. I mean, they were faithless by nature. And so are we. We've got to have the faithfulness of Christ, or we don't have any faithfulness at all. We simply don't. But those who say, your salvation is dependent upon the faithfulness of Christ, I'm against that. You mean all the things I did, all the works I performed, they don't count for anything? That's what the Word of God says. Those who are with Him, they're kept by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, by everything He did. Those He chose and calls, they say, We're so thankful that salvation is not dependent on my faithfulness, but rather is dependent upon the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. What he did, because he did it perfectly. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You know what that word sanctify means? It means set apart and made holy. That sounds like what we've been reading, isn't it? That God chose you, called you, he set you apart, and then he was faithful for you. And it says, and the very God of peace, in verse 23, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. Doesn't say faithful is he who called him or chose him. No, who called you, who also will do it. Will do it. Turn to Romans 23. Him doing it all, I'm not against that. I'm all for that. Oh, me. God's people are not against that. If that is what and in whom we believe, then we're with him. We're with him. We're one with him. We're not against him, but with him. Look at Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By nature, we're all against him. But being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a substitute, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. That's the one time this word is used in all the scripture, and there's no more precious truth. That he might be just. You know how he's just? He can't condemn an innocent person. And you know who we are in Christ? We are innocent. He's done the work on our behalf. He's done it faithfully. That he might be just and the justifier. How did he justify us? He lived perfectly. And then he died for us. He took our sin and put it away, never to be mentioned, seen, or heard from again. And he's the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You know what believing in Jesus Christ is? I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm not against whatever he says. I'm not against that. I'm with him. I'm with him. God's people are chosen, called, and faithful, and they rejoice evermore. Turn over to just last scripture here. Turn to Romans 8. Have we ever had the thought, I'm sorry I've had this, and maybe you have too. It just seems like the whole world's against me. Ever had it going that way? Just seemed like the whole world is against me. The truth is they are. If you're with Christ, they're against you. They are against you. Absolutely against you. They don't even know why they're against you. Why? They're out of their head. Don't get upset with them. They're just like what we used to be. Out of our minds. Whole head is sick. Why are they against us? If we're with Christ, they're against us. They're against us. And our Lord even deals with this situation. Here's the comfort. Look at Romans 8, verse 31. What do we say to these things about being chosen, called, and faithful? If God be for us, who can be against us? The next time we have that thought, the whole world's against me. Against me, they are. If you're in Christ, if you're with Christ, they are against you. But here's the comfort. If God be for us, who can be against you? It doesn't matter. It does not matter that they're against us. Here's how this is all going to end. All men, all women are going to arrive at the judgment of God. And when men arrive, one of two things is said. A name is called, and our Lord said, this is what men will say. They'll say, Lord, I did this and I did that. Lord, I prophesied. Lord, I cast out devils. Lord, I did many wonderful works. You know what his response is? I never knew you. I never chose you. I never called you. I never was faithful for you. Depart from me. Depart from me. You were against me. You were not with me. That's one of two things that happens. But when God's people get there and the name is called, you know what they say? Nothing. Nothing. What can I say? If it's dependent on what I've done, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I deserve what that last fellow got. That's what I deserve. But you know what our Lord says? He says, that one's with me. That one's with me. He never was against me. He's with me. And then we can say, I'm with him. I'm with him. Finally, I'm with him. You know, in this life, it's like, yeah, we're with him. We're for him. We're with him. We're not against him. But the day's coming where we'll actually be with him. There's all the difference in the world. When one of my grandchildren calls me, says, Pop, I love you. I like that. I'm grateful for that. But boy, when I come out the door and here comes one of them running and leaps in my arms and says, Pop, I love you. I'm really with him. Really with him. And that day's, to the young, that seems a long way out there. It's not so long as we think, folks. Thank God he chose the people, and he called them, and he keeps them faithful. May the Lord bless his word. Dwight, do you have a closing hymn?